Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, with particular focus on these words, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Christmas time is a special time for both believers and unbelievers. Who doesn't like to wax nostalgic of the days gone by, family gatherings, excited and anxious children, packages and paper strewn all over the floor? My favorite, the aroma and flavors of the season. But even the unbelievers romance over the miracle of Christmas. Because what better than a baby born to champion social issues such as inequality, health, and hunger? For the Christian, though, the miracle of Christmas is much deeper. And it's even more deep than the virgin birth, the shepherds and the angels, the manger and the stable. The miracle of Christmas is a profound mystery that has no beginning, because Jesus, who is the Word, was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word who was before the foundation of the world is the Word spoken at creation, by whom all things were made. He is life and light, the eternal Word who was, who is, and who is to come. In the fullness of time, that Word was conceived in the womb of a virgin and born to dwell among us. The fancy theological term for this is the incarnation. In Christ, God and man are united in one person. And this all happens by the miraculous act of God taking the human nature into the one person of God the Son. Fully God, fully man, true God and true man, a union of one person. And it pleased our Lord to enter his own creation as a helpless newborn, swaddled from the cold, laid in a manger. No other religion in the world can compare to this mystery. Now, it is true there are myths of gods becoming men and the dreams of men becoming gods. False religions have their prayers and their miracles, and they have their own creeds and commandments. They have their codes of conduct and their orders of worship. But most of those false religions began with one person in a private place, seeing a vision, hearing a voice, and then that one person went out and told everybody else. Christianity is much different. Only Christianity confesses the God who actually becomes human at a specific time and a specific place in history, just like all other history events happen. It was the time of Caesar Augustus and King Herod, and the place was Bethlehem of Judea. That's where the Christ child was born. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't have to go out and tell people. They didn't have to send out birth announcements. The angel of the Lord delivered the good news of great joy to shepherds keeping watch over their flocks in the field. The heavenly host sang from heaven, announcing the newborn. The announcement came to King Herod by way of magi traveling from the east, following a star. The God-man Jesus, his earthly ministry, all of it would be performed public. The God-man Jesus would die on a cross in public. The God-man Jesus would raise from the dead and appear to many publicly. And then finally, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven in view of his disciples. The Word had to become flesh because that's what we are, flesh. Sure, you and I try to act holier than thou. We try to do a really good job. We pretend to be spiritual, trying to show our false pieties. We want to believe that our own humanity is immune from the deadly cancer of sin passed down from Adam and Eve. And while you and I strive to become more human, God becomes a baby laid in a manger. While you and I are sinful ancestors of Adam and Eve, the Son of God took on our humanity, except without our sin, so that he could save us from the wages of our sin. God was born of woman and under the law, born with us under the law, that law that accuses you and condemns you to the judgment of God because of all your transgressions. Yet Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save. Not to take us captive, but to set us free. Not to bring us more rules and commandments, but to fulfill God's law in our stead by living a perfect life in our stead. Jesus came to save sinners, of which you and I are chief and foremost. He came to save you from your sin of pride and despair, your hopelessness that you have in your sin and in your death. He came to be your shepherd and to lay down his life for you. The Word became flesh to save you. Our gospel text was recorded by Saint John the Evangelist. He was not in Bethlehem when the Christ child was born. He came to know Jesus and follow him later. Yet he was an eyewitness to Jesus' transfiguration, where the Word made flesh was glorified as Moses and Elijah watched on. John heard the voice declare Jesus to be God's own Son. And John was there to see Jesus die in the darkness on a cross on Mount Calvary. And he was first among those to see the empty tomb after Jesus had rose from the grave. And John personally saw Jesus' glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Even while that glory was swaddled away, covered in our humanity. In Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, your humanity is glorified. The image of God, which was tainted and broken in the Garden of Eden, has now been restored. For the sinless Lamb of God fulfilled all righteousness by his obedience to the Father, his perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, all in your stead. And all of those things were gifted to you in the waters of holy baptism. You were united with Christ, and in him you have been crucified, you have been raised, you've even been glorified. The Word became flesh means that you don't have to go out around searching to find Jesus. You don't have to go make a new commitment for Jesus. He comes to you. He made a commitment to you. The Word become flesh still dwells among us today. The babe born in Bethlehem comes to you swaddled in his preached word and in water and word and in the bread and wine. That's where the mystery of Christmas and the mystery of the Word become flesh encounters your flesh, on your tongue, into your ears, Jesus pouring out forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It's where you die and rise to new life in Christ Jesus. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among you in word and sacrament to save you. And he dwells among you in the least of these that you go out and serve. The thirsty and the hungry, the lonely and the abandoned, the unloved and those who appear unlovable. When you have done it to the least, you have done it to Jesus. Not because it earns you any favor before God, but it's how God serves your neighbor. He serves your neighbor through you. And when you serve others, you are serving the one who became flesh as the suffering servant for all. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the mystery of Christmas. This mystery endures long after the packages are open, the guests have gone home, the decorations have come down and been stored in the attic. When the holiday gives way to the new Worth Week, the mystery of Christmas remains. God is with us in the Christ child born of Mary, and he dwells among us that we too might behold his glory. Might be hidden now, but it will return to us on the last day when we will join him in eternal glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.